This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora koutou and welcome.
You've stumbled onto Fix It Up by Taha.
Brought to you by the eCan Youth Rōpū, empowering young people across the plains.
If you're passionate about our gorgeous environment, get ready for a killer show.
In Aotearoa, agriculture contributes to 50% of our gross greenhouse gas emissions. This is a fact that gets thrown about a whole lot in the climate activism movement and everything. And at the moment, there's been a lot of discussion, I guess over the past many years, there's been a lot of discussion on how farmers can be supported in adapting to climate change and working towards positive climate systems on their farms, because agriculture also supports a lot of New Zealand. So it's a very complex debate. Do you think you'd ever live rurally, River?
No, I think that would be incredible. I think I could live there for a few years, planting a few trees, you know, go through forests. It'd be cool. I think I'd enjoy it. You?
Yeah, I would love to live in an area which is a little quieter. I've never lived rurally myself, but, you know, I've had many, many friends who lived out in the valley and stuff, and I would love to live in a space that was definitely smaller, but at the moment enjoying the changes of city life and how that adapts. Another question to throw at you, and one just to ponder, if you were a farmer or if you were going into farming, what do you think you'd specialise in?
I would specialise in sustainable agriculture. I find that really interesting. I think it's fascinating just how everything's connected, like the soil, the water. And I also think it's better if you plant trees. I'm not a farmer, I don't know. But I do think, from what I have seen, it seems like a more better way. You're going to make more money if you plant trees along the waterways, if you keep your soil regenerative. Regenerative agriculture seems like a really interesting pathway to go. Maybe not now, it might not bring you the most amount of money, but in 50 years, you will make a lot more money. Like in Australia, for example, there are these farmers who have switched to regenerative agriculture and have survived droughts where their neighbours cannot keep up because it's just too dry for them.
I know that on the topic of clean drinking water, I think a 2020 study found that 45% of the lengths of our rivers in Aotearoa are unswimmable. And it reminds me of all the efforts that so many community groups are working on at the moment to preserve those spaces and make them accessible to all the freshwater fish and animals that live in our rivers. Recently, Forest and Burra did a planting, which was outstanding, and James Shaw actually came along. He showed up in his grey pea coat and he had some jeans on underneath and some fancy shoes, and he got dressed into someone's gumboots and just got stuck in right from the airport. He arrived with his chauffeur and, you know, he did a little wardrobe change and got stuck in. But it was in Bexley Reserve and in an area that it used to be a landfill, and before then it was a landfill first, and then it was a area for farming. So it's gone through a lot. It was this little space of grass where they had been slowly planting. You could see the evidence of plantings previously, and we got about a good number of trees in the ground. But running through that area was the dirtiest stream. It was so disheartening to see. You go anywhere close and you just get pulled into the muck, absolutely pulled into the muck, and it was fully, you couldn't see through any of it. And it just reminds me, because one of their main actions was to plant filtering plants along that stream and slowly work to make it this beautiful, clear space again.
Yeah, that's incredible. New Zealand's such a beautiful country, and like, waterways are so well known for New Zealand. It's just sad to think that 45% you can't even swim in them.
I don't know if you've seen the little creek at UC, but it is crystal clear. It is so cool. I guess that's what happens when you have any number of uni students conducting their research assignments on that creek on site. But you go in and it's the first thing you see, at least on a couple entrances, it's the first thing you see. And it's beautiful. It's stunning. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could have the Avon River to be that clear, the Waimakariri to be that clear and thriving again. And we're in the city. Like, it would be, it's hard because so many things run off. Every time you do construction, you get runoff. Every time there's a massive downpour, everything gets taken from those streets and poured into our water, into our waterways. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing?
Yeah, it would be. And we just need to do it, you know? It won't be take too long, right? If we just plant enough trees, we stop doing enough, stop polluting, we'll be okay. We'll get there, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
That's certainly the hope. But what's the interview we have coming up?
It's a one with Mirabel, who also talks about this, and it'll be great to see it.
Cool. Absolutely. I don't know how our minutes are going, but do you mind saying before we stop it, and upcoming, we have an interview with Mirabel, so stay tuned because I quite like it.
Yeah. And upcoming, we have an interview with Mirabel about this very topic, so stay tuned.
Yay!
Sweet.
Hi guys, and welcome back to the podcast. We have Shelby in the interviewing chair today, and we've swapped with Poppy. And our little media segment today is discussing the upcoming election on October 14th,
which is coming very soon. What are you feeling, Shelby? How are you feeling about it so far? What's the general vibes? I'm throwing your own question at you, but
it's always exciting. Getting an election up and running, it's a really big event, happens every 3 years, lots of opportunity for really big change. I'm pretty dubious going into this. It's genuinely anyone's game at this point. It's not a clear-cut Labour win. It's not a clear-cut National win. They've been going back and forth in the polls. But what about you, Poppy? Are there any vibes you're picking up on that are particularly standing out?
Keeping note that all of this is simply our, yes, our perspective and just a little chat from two people who can't vote this year, sitting in a podcast room, yarning, really. I'd love to see some more policies on mental health support and focusing on young people and just everyone, really, and really getting to the root of causes rather than doing quick fixes. I would also love to see, you know, there's always more climate policies that can be done, and I feel like this year it's been lacking a little bit, which is unfortunate. I hope that everyone went to the climate strike on last Saturday, because that was a vote for the climate sort of strike, and it would have passed now, but something to keep in mind for everyone.
Especially for youth, we have quite a big focus on the future. It's less of what we can get out of it and more of what we as a collective can get out of it. And so that focus on climate policy and mental health, which are two things that have definitely affected us quite substantially. We've had the cyclones. Seeing the different levels of reactions to that was really interesting. And then we've also, obviously, we're dealing with the mental health epidemic. Every teenager is probably struggling to some degree within these last few years with COVID.
I'd love to also use this chance to encourage everyone, if you're unsure who to vote for, or if you're just curious on who to vote for, or curious about parties' policies and feeling like there isn't any resources to find that, Policy NZ is an absolutely incredible, incredible source.
Policy NZ is an absolute goldmine. You can search up the policies without the names of the parties. So you can search up climate policies, you can search up mental health policies, you can search up rural policies, and it will provide them to you without the names of parties, potentially something that's useful if you have a little bit of a bias towards a party, or just gives you the opportunity to not cut out something just because it's a Labour policy or just because it's a National policy, which is really exciting, kind of building into the whole collaboration idea, which is MMP and is our electoral system.
Can you define MMP for me, MP versus MMP?
MP is a Member of Parliament. Those are your people you elect who represent your area and go sit in the House at Parliament. MMP is the system that we use to vote, which is mixed member proportional. So you get two votes, one for your electorate and one for your party, and then the House is made up of a mixture of those electorate and list MPs, depending on how many votes a party gets, with the notable exception of the last election, which was a supermajority. Labour got the vast majority of votes. In most cases, the MMP system allows for collaboration and negotiation between parties and results in a coalition government where two parties merge together to create a government. Or three.
Also using this point to advertise Vote Compass, which is another cool resource if you're just curious how your beliefs align with different parties and what they would answer. I think it's really interesting. They show you what your general age demographic would vote for.
There's a lot of amazing resources out there. Kind of politically neutral, also not. Make It 16 has a bunch of resources out there for youth who want to vote. If you're not a native English speaker, one thing to note is that if you go into a voting place, there will be people there who can speak other languages and there will be translation guides for you. So voting is trying to be made as accessible for everyone.
For those of you who can vote, for those of you who are over 18, make sure you're registered. The main voting day is on the 14th of October. Get out there. Go find out a place that you can vote. It's one of the main ways to have your voice heard. Politicians are going to be elected no matter what.
So you'll be able to vote from the 2nd of October. You've got the 2 weeks before the election. If you get in there, get your vote in, make sure you're heard. Every vote counts. And let's get an Aotearoa everybody's happy with. If you had a last little thing to say to youth, particularly youth who are voting for the first time, what would be your ending statement to them, Poppy?
Start some chats. I think we are very cagey about voting, and if you can start some chats, particularly with people that you might not usually speak to, get people talking, because I think that you get some really interesting insights that way.
Talking and diversifying your perspectives is valuable for everyone. You may not agree with everyone, but it's still good to be aware that everybody has different opinions.
Absolutely. Go vote, everyone.
Hell yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
Joining me today is Mirabelle Southern, and I believe she brought a song for us.
Hi, yeah, this is Mirabelle, and my song is Sleep Talking by Indigo D'Souza.
Sweet, great, can't wait to hear it.
I'll play. so well. Please get me out, out of the depths of hell. When I get home, I'm gonna sell you my soul. When I get home, when I get home, when I get home.
So, I believe you went... I'm sorry about this, I'm going to butcher this, but I believe you recently went to Te Arakakariki. No, can you say it? Sorry.
Te Arakakariki.
There we go.
I recently went to Lincoln Primary's Kids Discovery Plant Out Day, run by Enviro Schools and Te Arakakariki. And I just really wanted to see, like, sort of the work that they do. I've been to a couple of Te Arakakariki and programs run by Enviro Schools, but I just really wanted to, like, get a sense of what they do, like, in a little bit more in depth and, like, observe. Because I'm based in the Waimakariri district currently, and there isn't anything like Te Arakakariki in the Waimakariri district, and I want to get involved with, like, trying to create something like Te Arakakariki in the Waimakariri district, since TAC is only based out of the Selwyn district currently. And Te Arakakariki, their mission is to create a greenway, or like a corridor of native biodiversity green dots between the Waimakariri and Rakaia rivers, linking the Canterbury foothills to Te Waihora or Lake Ellesmere and Banks Peninsula, to sort of allow for native birds and other animals to have, like, a safe sort of native passage for them to get from the foothills to the ocean. So, yeah, I think it's important that, I mean, obviously they're trying to get to the Waimakariri district, and there isn't anything like Te Arakakariki in the Waimakariri district. So it's like, there's like filling that gap to get that greenway completed.
Yeah, nice. And how exactly do they create greenways? Like, what sort of methods do they use?
So Te Arakakariki, they collaborate with private landowners and community landowners and the Department of Conservation, and people basically volunteer their land, and Te Arakakariki provides the equipment, and depending on who they are collaborating with, either Te Arakakariki will provide funding for saplings or the landowners do that. And it's mostly volunteer based, and people just come together and they plant a bunch of trees, and then the landowner maintains that space and makes sure that all the trees are healthy and whatnot. And it's just really cool. Like, you go, a lot of places have multiple planting sites, and some of them are a couple years old, and so you can sort of see the progress. But yeah, no, it's really cool, and it's a great way to, like, engage with people who share the same beliefs as you, and it's a great way to get involved with the community, and a lot of the time they provide, like, free food.
Yeah, wow, that sounds awesome. And yeah, why is it only in Selwyn?
I mean, the Selwyn district is pretty big, and I think it's just, like, they've got a great thing going, and obviously with, like, one charitable trust, you don't want to spread yourself too thin. And there's obviously, like, logistical stuff with, like, counselors and, like, Selwyn Council owned land and Waimakariri District owned land. So it gets a bit complicated crossing in between different districts. So it's like they've got a really good thing going in the Selwyn District. And so they are, like, really focused on that, which is great. But I think more people just need to, they're trying to get more people to step in and, like, run something very similar. Because as much as Te Arakakariki would like to collaborate, they have a lot going on in the Selwyn district currently. So it's just a matter of resources and people and not spreading yourself too thin, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And do they do target planting, or is it just whoever's got the land works well?
I think they look for land in specific areas to sort of create that, like, the ideal greenway. I mean, there are a lot of planting sites around Te Waihora in the Lincoln area, and they do a lot of, they try to do plantings on farmland as well to just sort of increase the biodiversity in certain areas that don't have as much. So I think it really depends. I think they do try to do plantings and stuff like that in specific areas, but I mean, if someone volunteers their land, I'm sure they're willing to do something there. Yeah.
Nice. And yeah, I was going to ask how much land you think you would get in the Waimakariri region. I swear I know how to speak, but anyway, I was wondering how much land you'd get there. And of course, planting near the river would clean the rivers, and I know that's kind of a problem around there, I believe.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of dairy farming, and there's a lot of like erosion. We have quite a lot of sediment in the river after it rains, just because there aren't, Te Waiahora has this issue too, where none of the native like aquatic plants are, they've been wiped out, and they just, so all the sediment gets like turned up when it rains, and it makes the water not safe to swim in, or it causes algae blooms, and it's just not. So yes, native planting would be very beneficial around the Waimakariri River.
Yeah, nice. Sweet. And what's your plan going into the future?
Well, I've scheduled a meeting with Siobhan from the... Siobhan works for EnviroSchools, actually. And she's actually based in the Waimakariri District. I'm going to be meeting with her in a couple weeks to sort of discuss, like, either, like, plans for getting something like tax started up in the Waimakariri District, or what people are already doing, or what people are interested in, and just sort of like really just making connections and talking to a bunch of people and stuff like that. So it's like early talking stages.
That sounds great. Can't wait. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
I really hope you do get it by the end of February. It'll be great. See you later. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for listening to Fix It Up Waitaha.
We'd love to hear what you're getting up to in your own spaces. Follow along or send us a message at Ekan Youthropu on all social places. That's Ecan Youthropu. And listen again every second Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio.
And we hope you get out and do your part to fix it up.
Once upon a time, our Earth was fine, and it orbited harmlessly without a crime. But millions of years ago, humans did.